had a preparation for this meeting, I also took the liberty of checking within this parliament what, to what extent have we been handling and addressing issues around the liquefied petroleum sector or industry. And I see that this committee has received the briefing on the 14th of September 2009, on the 16th of February 2010, on the 20th of April 2010. In 2009, focus was on pricing regulation. In 2010, it was just still around the price regulations as well as the pilot projects which were somewhere in Pune and elsewhere. And once again in April 2010 it was updated on the pricing issue. And also last year in August we did go through a briefing on this. But the shift now was taking stock on the LPG sector from a transformative perspective. And I was looking at one of the things that we highlighted, that we said, why shouldn't we look at the, in fact, we're suggesting to the extent to the department, why not address the LPG issue from a public hearing perspective so that they can pull as many ideas from the public as possible, and also concerns were expressed about the slow pace of transformation in this sector, to the extent that even the emphasis was also on moving the pilot project into full program. Look at. So you can see today, I mean, that was to be exact, 23rd of August 2011. So it's 12 months, you can say it's 12 months after. So, I mean, it's really quite appropriate. I'm sure everybody would agree with me. Just to have a sense as to what extent has the department responded to our suggestion, to what extent have they looked into this, or advancing this sector. But once again, from a transformative, angle, we know it's a sector that's riddled with myths. The ordinary people at times are scared of gas. They don't look at it from a safety angle. They look at it from lack of safety more than anything. And we know that there are a number of other stiff challenges that raise this, from supply chain complexities, to some other regulatory challenges, as it has been addressed by the committee, particularly in 2009 and 2010. And that's primarily the basis for us to be coming together today, but also to ensure that the committee once again is seized, with this matter, and ensure that we assist, and if not assisting, we insist on the department, to advance in its commitment that liquefied petroleum gas or the gas sector must move from a 5% market penetration to 20%. I'm sure I'm still accurate in terms of the intentions of the government in expanding this this area, notwithstanding the challenges that I've already mentioned as date tests. Of course, I shouldn't say much, but I was just giving a background and a framework for honorable members as to why we're here today. I definitely would then invite and even challenge you, members, who can even come with a kind of concrete input as to how do we see the department advancing in this area. so that there is a meaningful, you know, advancement of this sector in terms of us meeting energy needs for the country at the end of the day. Before we hand over to the department, and can we get from the committee secretary apologies?
Thank you, Chairperson. The following apologies. Honourable Moloto, currently abroad. Honourable Hadebe and Sao, who are on sick leave. Honourable Tinto, who has a provincial commitment. Honourable Smala, constituency commitment. And Honourable Freyla, who is not here as well. Yeah, those are the apologies.
Okay. Those are on sick leave. We need to wish them well. Once and get them back in this active committee sooner than later. Shall then hand over to the department to take us through. And Nomzan, I need to do the best introduction to this because I see there are new faces. It seems your team is going. That's very helpful. So that by the time we are dealing with sale gas, you have a fully fledged team in your unit. Shall
thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Maybe to open the presentation, I need to sort of confirm what the Chairperson has already alluded to in terms of the challenges that are facing the liquid fuel industry, because LPG is part of the liquid fuel industry. So the presentation that I'm just going to make to you is really to highlight what the department is.
Manier, unless my science is out of line, it gets the same as liquid.
Yes.
Hello, I'm joking.
Yeah. Then I just want to mention that the presentation that I'm going to make here is to highlight the challenges that the industry is facing and, of course, what the department is attempting to do in order to make sure that all our people have got access to this industry, particularly our citizens that have got access to LPG. Of course, we would also definitely would like to appreciate your input in our whilst we are trying to ensure that the industry is actually transformed to serve all the people of our country. To start with, I just want to give the outline of this presentation. I'll just give a bit of introduction and background to the efforts that we are making or to what has been happening in the LPG industry, and of course give you our objectives to expand the use of LPG, and of course a little bit of analysis or market analysis in the LPG industry to see what has been happening and what are the trends. I think that would actually give you some views in terms of where this industry is at the moment. Of course, it is important that we should actually mention the constraints or the challenges that we are facing in the LPG market. We'll give you a little bit of what is happening in the country as benchmarks, to see how we compare or what we can actually use in terms of advancing the interests of our country. Then I will give you what we intend to do in terms of intervening, making sure that certain things happen in this industry. And of course, I'll mention something that is happening, the latest development in the industry, because I think since our efforts, intervention efforts, certain things have happened, although not really in a way that we would have liked to. And of course, then we'll give a way forward in terms of what we need to do from now onwards. Okay. Just to give the introduction that the South African energy supply is characterized by an equal access to modern energy, such as electricity and LPG. Low-income households lack access to this affordable, safe, and portable source of energy for cooking and space heating. Of course, in recent years, we are aware that there has been some shortfalls in the supply of electricity, and those shortfalls have actually triggered the need to have an energy mix. So we as government then have identified the need to promote LPG as an alternative area of choice in meeting the challenges of energy security. We believe that the LPG industry can provide a quick and effective solution to this problem. And we see LPG as a precursor to the introduction of even the much more efficient source of energy, which is the natural gas. Because we believe that once we have LPG in every household, maybe in especially the new developments that we have, we have installations that can be able to supply LPG, then it is easier to convert LPG into natural gas. And then I'll move on to the objectives. What is our objective as government? This initiative, LPG expansion option, as we call it, it's aimed to provide access to this safer, cleaner, and efficient and affordable thermal power for all households nationally. Right. And in fact, another objective is to switch the low-income households from use of coal, paraffin, biomass to LPG as a thermal fuel. And of course, it is also our intention to contribute to this demand-side management by minimizing the use of electricity for cooking and space heating. We believe that investing a fraction of the cost of the power plant in LPG switching costs could lead to a delay in investment in new power plants. We are not saying that there won't be any need, but we see it can go a long way in delaying those investments. Also, a part of our objectives, we want to enhance the level and quality of energy services currently available to residential users through South Africa. Because we believe that not all our residents have access to quality energy. We know, for instance, where we come from, that in rural areas, there are people who are still using biomass or using wood as a source of energy. Not everybody is having access to this form of energy. Of course, as one of the government's objectives is that of making environment safe by reducing greenhouse gas emissions. I think that is outcome number 10. So we want to actually to contribute to that because LPG is a much cleaner fuel. It does not have that much of those emissions. Now, just to give you an analysis of the LPG market in the past few years, the demand for LPG has been growing as more households are just diversifying their energy needs in response to rising electricity prices. I think the graph that I have here, you can see that in the earlier years, 2004, there was more supply of LPG than demand. And this carried on until in 2006, where there was almost an equilibrium between supply and demand. But then in 2007, then demand started to rise more than the supply of this LPG. But I think that can also be attributed to the shortages that were experienced in electricity during those years. And of course, then there was this demand for LPG to supplement those shortages. I think since then, the demand for LPG has been actually growing more than the supply. And just as an illustration, you can see there in this graph the usage of all these energy sources, that the major part of usage is electricity on this graph. And that is the information, the sets that we got in 2007. And this is followed by firewood. Now, as you can see, that firewood still forms part of the energy used, particularly in the rural area, where people do not have access to this modern type of energy. Of course, coal also is playing a very important part. So the main problem that we are faced with in terms of promoting or expanding the use of LPG, of course, has been the issue of pricing. But that's not the only problem. I will highlight that at a later stage. Because when we look at this problem, we've got to look at it holistically. We shouldn't only could be concentrating only on the price. We should concentrate on other factors that are affecting the availability of LPG. I will cite just a few examples. The issue of supply, which is actually the function of the infrastructure and so forth. Okay. Of course, this is also just showing you the use of all these energy carriers. You can see that for cooking in South Africa, and the electricity is still playing a major part of the source of energy. And if you look at gas, it's only a small percentage, 2%. So it shows that there's still a lot to be done in order to actually to make sure that now people are able to use LPG. In terms of pricing, as you all are aware, I think in 2010, July 14, we actually promulgated the maximum price of LPG sold to residential consumers. That was just one aspect of dealing with the problem. But I'm not saying that it is now being completed. We still have to look into this pricing matter because it seems to be a major stumbling block to access to LPG. Honorable members and chairperson, I think that there are certain elements in the pricing of LPG that we've got to look into. I would sort of actually allude to that when I move on with the presentation in terms of what we are now, what is the next step in terms of actually dealing with the pricing matter, because even now, even after that intervention, the prices of LPG are still high to some people. They are not really affordable. And of course, what we want to do, we want to make sure that the intervention that we come up with actually makes some kind of predictability in terms of the price of the LPG price in future. Let me deal with some of the problems affecting supply of LPG. As you might be aware, that LPG is actually the product from crude oil. From a barrel of crude, we produce a number of other products. There's LPG, and then there's petrol, and so many other products from it. So now, depending on the demand for what, highest demand during a specific time. There could be more demand of petrol, so then the manufacturers then would switch to the production of petrol, more production of petrol than LPG. So it is a matter of, what is the type of feedstock they have, because crude is not the same. Some crude, they can produce more petrol, maybe without affecting the production of LPG, and vice versa. Of course, also the complexity of the refineries themselves. Some refineries are not considered the same. Some have got and produce more of this product than the other. And the other major problem that we have in our country in terms of LPG is the storage and import infrastructure. That is the major import. In fact, if I can mention that, in this country, the biggest import facility is about 3,500 tons, which is a facility that is actually belonging to Hafrax. So it's not an open access. So once you have that situation, then you cannot be at liberty to supply as you wish. So those are the impediments in terms of actually supply of LPG. And of course, the other issues then are environmental regulations and also the refinery economics, because even, the business people, then they will decide which is economical for them to do. If they feel that maybe the production of LPG at a particular point in time is not really economical, then they will switch to other products. Those are the issues affecting the supply of LPG. Now, the constraints in the development of the LPG market. I think the major one is the lack of funding. Now, switching people from using other sources of energy, such as wood, paraffin, charcoal, electricity to LPG, it would require some sort of inducement, and that can only be in the form of subsidies. Because when people have access to coal and access to wood, and then you want to switch them to an energy carrier which is much more expensive, for the first time, there must be something that is done to switch them over to this form of energy. So that is the only thing that we actually consider. How do we actually provide those subsidies? And because subsidies, mean that money must be found somewhere. And today, money is not that easily available. But I will sort of expand in terms of what we think can be done in terms of that. Right now, then we come to this issue, which is actually even prevalent with other liquid fuels, the issue of vertical integration of the supply chain. The supply chain, as I mentioned when I opened that, the LPG industry is the same as the liquid fuel industry. And the manufacturers of LPG are also wholesalers and retailers of LPG. Now, this actually results in the total control of the supply value chain. That is problematic, because whatever the manufacturer is producing, then would then be paid to where that product should go, even at the expense of the consumer. Right. And of course, the nature of the product is actually is heavy in terms of transport and storage facilities. It's costly. And then once you have those issues, those costs high, then they have an impact on the price of LPG itself. And the other one, which in fact we cannot deny, is that this negative perception of LPG. LPG is no more dangerous than gasoline when contained in a fuel tank or a cylinder. But there is perception that LPG is the most dangerous product. I think, of course, because of the incidence of explosion that we hear of now and again, then we have, now we keep on having this negative perception. So people are afraid to use LPG. Okay. And then I did mention that, you know, we looked at other countries, international countries, what is happening, what they are doing in terms of LPG. And we looked at Brazil, we found that at some stage there are about 42 million households are using LPG in the residential sector. And of course now there's this issue of subsidy. They practice cost subsidy for several decades in order to make LPG affordable to households in the parts of the country. Some of them have used the voucher system in expanding LPG, in other words, giving subsidies for people now to be able to have, particularly low-income households. And in India, 162 million households, they use LPG for cooking. The Indian government removed subsidies in other products because they did not want to subsidize LPG. They were subsidizing other petroleum products. But when they removed the subsidy on all these other petroleum products, they left the subsidies on LPG. Similarly, Indonesia, they have achieved more than 5 million people using LPG in their country. This one is trying to highlight the importance of subsidies in promoting the use of LPG. And now, as department, we actually proposing a number of interventions. And I think the major one that we propose as a matter of agency is the development of the supply infrastructure, particularly import infrastructure. Because if Chairperson and Honourable Member, that not long time ago, we had serious shortages of LPG, particularly in the Western Cape. And then the LPG manufacturers had to import. Now, when importing LPG, you have to have adequate infrastructure. And as I've alluded to, that the biggest infrastructure that we have at the moment is in Richards Bay, which is used by Afrox, which is 3,500 tons. And that infrastructure is not adequate. And of course, the problem that it is not an open access infrastructure, which is controlled by one player in the industry. And the player then dictates how much for you to be able to use that infrastructure. So that then limits the flexibility in terms of bringing enough LPG in the country. And so we are actually, in fact, we have been working with some other stakeholders to make sure, or to be, let me be specific, Transnet Port Authority to facilitate the development of the infrastructure at Saldanha Bay. The licensing regime, we believe that in order to regulate the prices, we have to have some licensing system, particularly in enforcing safety, because of the incidents that we know about for the use of LPG, that we've got to have some kind of licensing regime to make sure that the users are actually adhering to safety. Right. And the other one, the other intervention is that of combating uncompetitive behavior. There is this prevalent behavior in the LPG industry of holding cylinders, because now when you keep cylinders that do not belong to you, then it means it's limiting the supply of cylinders, because LPG can mainly be supplied with the use of cylinders. So what is happening in this industry is that the players themselves, they use uncompetitive measures to take each other out of the market. Now, if, for instance, I am Airtel, and then I want really to take, these are examples, I want to take BT out of the market. Now, because this cylinder exchange, then I will sort of keep BP cylinders with me. So then BP would not be able to then to distribute a gas to BP customers.
I'm sure if you could use the background,
it
would be better. What if I'm an engine fair?
Thank you, but I just mentioned that it's just an example because of the, yes, let's say Zebra and Eliva. Now if I want to take Lion out of the market, then I'll keep Lion's cylinders with me, and then Lion would not be able to distribute gas to their customers. So that is the situation that we are facing now. But what we are saying is that such holding of cylinders is an uncompetitive behavior. And should anyone actually come across that, then they need to report these things to the service, that service providers need to report these things to the Competition Commission, because that is another problem. Or they can report that to government. And we are in a position of actually then taking that matter out. It is a serious challenge. And we believe also, honourable members, that that local production of cylinders will go a long way, really, in ensuring that we make a supply of the cylinders. Because what is happening at the moment is that cylinders have to be imported. And of course, this problem then of holding of the cylinder. If we have cylinder manufactured locally, it will not only actually provide enough stock of cylinder, but it will also provide employment, which is what is needed, in fact, by our government. So that is what we are looking for. And there are some developments as well in that area, although it is not adequate, but there are some movements in terms of making sure that, you know, the cylinders that we are using are produced locally. And the next one is, as I've alluded before, is the subsidies on appliances. We actually recommend that, you know, some form of subsidies, particularly for LPG appliances and cylinders, should be provided rather than the product itself. Because if we want to switch people from using one energy source to another, particularly of a higher price, then we believe that people need some sort of incentive. So if we give people an initial stock, we give people initial appliances and some cylinders, and then thereafter people then will get used to the use of LPG. I believe, in fact, this has been used before here in South Africa, particularly here in the Western Cape when there were shortages of LPG. And that kind of arrangement was implemented by ESCOM. We believe that initially we could target households to the tune of 1.2 million of all income groups over a period of 5 years. I'll just give you some indicative costs of doing that. But we believe that is what we should be doing as a start, as a starting point, as an intervention. Right. And the other one, which I've also alluded to, that we, although we regulated the price of LPG sold to residential customers, that has not been enough. So we need to do more, to look at the whole pricing system, because what we did, we set the maximum price at which LPG can be sold, based on some little done on the pilots, but we cannot say those pilots are perfect. But at the moment, the price of LPG is also based on the average monthly basic fuel price of fuel, like the petrol. They base it on the average price of 93 octane, which is an import parity price, and it's a game price. It is not really the actual price of producing LPG. And of course, there is now a project team other than this, which is looking at the basic fuel pricing as a whole. So we are looking at now divorcing the pricing of LPG from 93 petrol. Some people might ask, why 93 unleaded petrol? It's because some of the components or some of the elements or components of LPG, I think it's butane, it's used also in the production of petrol 93. So if one product is produced, then it means LPG is losing. So it's based on that and it's discounted somehow. But we really do not believe that it is a realistic way or a scientific way of pricing for this product. So we need to go further, go deeper into this, seek this, which is the starting point of pricing, maximum refinery gate price, and all other elements, the transportation to customers also is affecting, you know, the pricing of LPG. And of course, the costing structure, the asset base that is used in determining the pricing. And we need to look into that to see whether some of these things are still relevant or not. So that is one aspect that we have now, actually, in fact, we as a department have gone into the review of the of this month-to-month refinery gate price. So we will soon then be seeking input in terms of that. I promise that, you know, I just wanted to give you some indicative cost of implementing this strategy, targeting this 1.2 million. If we were to supply them with appliance cylinders and some appliances, these are just the calculation. That was the pricing that we got, I think, in 2011. Things might have changed a little bit. But this is the pricing. If we were to subsidize people from low-income groups in both in low-income and upper-income groups, we subsidize them with stoves, and we subsidize them with cylinders illegally. And it's not really a constant subsidy, but just to switch them over. If we can do that over a period of 5 years, the costing is around about 650 million rand over a period of 5 years. So that is the challenge in terms of now where do we source this money. But we believe that it is necessary for a start to make sure that we assist all our people now to start using this this source of energy. Whilst we are looking holistically at other problems which are associated with LPG, because if we can have the infrastructure, the import infrastructure, then we are able to import LPG. Particularly, if we import LPG in the northern hemisphere where it's plenty in summer, it comes cheaper. If we import it in large quantities, then we got a lower unit cost per liter. And then, of course, then we are able to pass that on to our consumers. And, of course, then we refine the pricing. And, of course, if we have enough storage infrastructure, we produce our cylinders locally, then we think that we can go a long way in making this product accessible to all our citizens. And in this effort of making LPG accessible to all our citizens, we identified a number of role players. For instance, we identify DPI, to facilitate the possibility of that LPG cylinders and appliances being manufactured locally. And of course, I think there are some efforts that the DTI is actually making towards that. But we still have to work closely to make sure that we achieve the desired outcome. But there's that move really in working with DTI. Although we have not actually done it intensely, but that is the move that we are looking to. And of course, we also would like to engage the COFTA, the Conference of Governance, the Traditional Affairs, that department to encourage different municipalities to support the rollout when we start with it. And of course, there is this issue of developing the infrastructure, the LPG infrastructure. Now, when you do that, then there has to be some environmental assessment. And those assessments normally take quite a long time, between 18 months to 2 years. So we would be working with the Department of Environmental Affairs to prioritize those assessments when we want to develop the infrastructure. I think we can see the fruits of that. I'll mention that in Saldanha Bay, where the import facilities now are being initiated. I'm not sure whether they started, but definitely there's going to be a big development in terms of the import infrastructure at Saldanha Bay. And of course, then we'll be working with National Treasury, we'll be consulting them, with a proposal for the subsidy scheme, because they are the controllers of the test. So in this quest, we are going to say this is what we intend doing, what we do suggest. And of course, with our National Energy Regulator, NERSA, there is this funding that they control, the ESCOM funding, with multi-year price determination that's mainly for electricity. We believe that now if we are introducing LPG at a large scale, then we are able to reduce the use of electricity. Then we are somehow helping, in fact removing the burden on the electricity supply. So we believe that by doing so, we should be able to access some of those funds and savings in order to maybe to use these as a subsidy. For switching those electricity people to LPG. Right. Of course, then we think that working closely with IEDC to support all these programs of expanding LPG, it would be, in fact, it would make a lot of sense because IEDC, they evaluate all the projects and, of course, they give advice. And once if they give that project a go ahead, then it means it's a sustainable project. They can assist with the funding as well. Of course, engaging with Transnet Port Authority to facilitate the development of the port infrastructure at the identified ports. I mentioned that we have in fact collaborated with Transnet, the main parent of the holding company of Transnet Port Authority, in terms of whether they actually gave us feedback in terms of saying that they are facilitating the bidding process. I think now it's finished. Now there are people, there is an independent company that is now constructing a much bigger import facility at Saldanha Bay, and in fact we'll be seeing such infrastructure also developing at some other places. But now, when we have this, for us, it's very important. This import infrastructure is very important because you cannot be able to sell the product if you do not have it. And of course, importing the product with smaller vessels is very costly, and that contributes to the higher prices of LPG. And of course, then we are denying our people the use of LPG. So that infrastructure is very critical to us because it contributes to everything, to the pricing. Once it goes into the pricing, then it affects affordability of the use of fibroids. The latest developments, as I mentioned, there are companies, there is a company that has, is developing an import, LPG import facility at the port of Saldanha. And there are also other developments in terms of the construction of storage infrastructure for LPG. We got information from our energy regulator who is actually issuing licenses for storage infrastructure. We are getting positive feedback that there is some infrastructure that is being constructed for this particular purpose. And it is very encouraging. So we will do whatever we can do in making sure that now all these interventions come to reality. So the next step in terms of the document that we have developed internally, I just want us to get our internal approval of this document, and I think maybe then the next step would be then there will be some other inputs, you know, from outside stakeholders, but we should, we should be given a go-ahead internally in terms of whether what we are saying in this document in terms of advancing the translation of the industry is really acceptable or not. So that is how far we have gone, honorable members. And in closing, I must say that I think we as a department, or we as this, are coming from the same society. What we see outside as we are driving in the areas where we live, we see these problems on a daily basis. And sometimes we feel guilty and then ask ourselves, what is it that we are doing when such things are happening in front of our eyes? So I think it is important really to share with you, honorable members, the fact that whatever is happening really, it's not because we like it. And there are challenges in terms of moving things faster. Of course, the issues of consultation, also the issues of funding, and all those things are actually compounding the problem. But we can assure you that we are getting there. Thank you.
Hello, Kwame. That's from the department. Honorable members, the floor is yours now.
Thank you, Chairperson. This presentation is somehow confusing me because the department is not moving forward. In 2010, there was a project. In fact, there was we had three. We were promised that there are three members in all provinces, in all nine provinces, where they were having this LPG use. It's Driefontein, Pretoria, Atteridgeville, as well as where it's Atteridgeville, Driefontein, and I forgotten the other name. That it was a project that was helping to see that LPG is accessible to people. But what comes out now is like really the problem is that is US, you didn't touch anything about that project right now. And the problem, what you are coming up with, a problem of funding, which now we don't know where it is putting us. It says, the way you are putting it now is people should stick to coal and wood and dam, cow dam, in other words. Because electricity is expensive, number one. Number two, even LPG is expensive and it is very scarce. So I'm not sure whether we are going forward or we are going backwards or what. It's a confusing statement that you're putting here, presentation that you're giving to us. That's how I get it. So I just want to know what happened to those projects, because we're told by the Ms. Makubani that that's Atrichville, Tembisile, and Tweefontein. That's where the project is, Tembisile Hani. Those municipalities, they are the ones who are using those the LPG. So what happened to that project? Can you just clarify us about that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. As a new member of the committee, this is a new story. So I'm trying to adapt and adjust and part of. How are we seeing this?
Excuse me, Prof. Not a single guest still in the
epic. How are we seeing this? This slide were numbered. That's a general comment. So that we are able to refer to slide number 7. Secondly, I'm looking at the end. They're saying get internal approval of this strategy. And I end up saying, what is the status of this document? That means this document has not gone through all the necessary stages in the department. If that is the case, I'm not sure how to handle it, because all the effort we need to engage in on that. And if I go to, like, I don't know which side it is now, let me take the slide on SA LPG market analysis. When I look at your supply there from 2.4 to 2.5, starting from 2.6, I see the supply went down from 420 to 350 to 327. I'm curious to know what about that about. Again, with my maps, the map that I'm having, maybe if they were in color, I'll be able to understand. If I'm looking at my map now with my, what I'm having here, with my black and white, I can't tell what 67% or 50% is presenting. And I'm saying how I wish either than the graph itself, because that's something that I have to say, this 67, you have given the electricity different than that. But it's good for somebody with a color. For me, this means nothing. Now again, if I take your hoarding, that is a different experience in Kingdom Town. There are two competing shops there. One is cheaper, the other one is not that cheap. I go to the cheaper one, they say, no, I've run out of stock. I go to the second one, I get my gas. I come back now with my cylinder from the second to give to the first so that I can get cheaper gas. He tells me, I don't take cylinder from the other shop. It's not that now the cylinder is hoarded. So I end up not knowing what is the difference between these cylinders. I would have thought a cylinder is a cylinder is a cylinder. But now a cylinder is not a cylinder, because I cannot use the cylinder from the lion to use it with the tiger. Well, what is behind that? I guess to me, I'm reading a new story here, which to me sounds very important. We have been talking about electricity versus solar, electricity, solar, electricity, solar. I'm told now there's another competitor, which is LPG, which to me becomes something important. I don't know if it is due to the status of this judgment that this subsidy funding, everything that try to push it up has not come to the fore. Is it because they are not there yet and therefore the canvassing, the campaign for all these things has not as yet hit us on the ground? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we are analyzing the whole situation once again. I think we've had a change of people coming here. We discussed this already, and we had a bit of a progress when the price was reduced, and I think the department did very well, and we praised them for that. However, it looks like we've got to start afresh. The big problem is transformation. It's a serious problem, and we need to look at it and look, face it boldly in the face. And when you say that there's one import port, which is Bay, and it's controlled by APROC, that's a serious, it's serious, and I don't think we can do much about it. And then when you say we look at Saldana, it looks like you've already made up your mind that we're going to import the gas. There is no other way. It looks like now the future is we're going to import. So I'm worried about what bearing is that going to have on the price. Because if you're to supply the East Coast and you're in Sudana and you're leaving Richards Bay, it's going to be quite a problem. It's going to create a serious problem. The shortfall of gas, I link it to the shortfall of importing of crude. Because if we had to be importing more crude, we'd be manufacturing more gas. Therefore, I think there is a bearing on that thing. So as long as we keep on importing more of the finished product, we'll have less gas. So we need to look at this here. Let's see, why aren't we importing the crude? Because that's another game that's being played. And that seriously got to have an effect on pricing once again. I just concerned about the interventions and the subsidies. You know, very good idea, excellent idea. I can guarantee you, who's going to benefit from this is the upper income groups. They can afford it. And so those who can afford it are going to be benefiting again. And so we should look at the mechanism which is going to look directly at the low-income group. Because if you look at your 1 million and 100 rand and the savings you make, you are there. And I can assure you, people, the other day we were talking of the income of 434 rand a month. How can you afford to buy gas? It is serious. It is really serious. So, the other thing is your gas cylinders. What is being the biggest problem here is the cost. We seem to be outpricing ourselves from importing them from other places like China and that. And then secondly, the cylinders that we imported at one stage were inferior. And those people who bought them were stuck with them. They couldn't do anything with them because they didn't meet the standards. So if we import, can we assure you, can you assure us that the price is going to be right? And if there's a company that wants to go in and manufacture, is there going to be a market? Because there again, the hoarding issue comes in, and the big suppliers who have been here for many years and who benefited from this will short circuit the whole system. We need, it's really serious. The other thing I need to just find is, this was, the other day I was listening to television, and there was a home, I think it's up north somewhere, with disabled children,
And they're saying they didn't want to use gas because it affects the health of the children. Is that true?
Thank you.
I might just be repeating one or two things that the other speakers have spoken about, but I'm going to go through some of the concerns that I have. One question I just need is, have we done any research on particularly low-income homes where gas is being used? What kind of percentages do we have? Because gas obviously is used a lot more in the middle and higher-income homes, but do we have any kind of research saying that there are many lower-income homes that are open to using gas, and how are we doing that? I'm going to go through your slides as we went through it, so I might jump a little bit around. Your slide on your supply and demand, a question that had been asked by Professor, why is the supply reducing? And, of course, another colleague also asked, has it got to do with the crude import? Is that a bearing on the reduction of the supply? And when I look at the demand as well, the demand has fallen as well, so it doesn't all go well, because if you look from 2006 to 2008, the demand has actually gone down. Have you got any research on that? And then, of course, constantly we talk about the monopoly, and certainly EFRAS has got the monopoly in South Africa. There are other players, but they have the monopoly, and so they set the price, so the price is high. So it becomes extremely unaffordable, even to middle-income homes. We're talking also about, and I won't mean about the ports authorities and all that, because you've spoken about that extensively. About the cylinders that you speak about, again, we're talking about supply and demand, and you said there is a developer in South Africa that these cylinders being manufactured, and obviously the cylinders are waiting for the demand to come up, and that's why they're there. You also spoke about the two plants, one in Saldanha, one which is there, but in Saldanha, some active construction going on. One person for sure, one company for sure picking up a plant, and others following. Obviously, in my mind, these are businesses. These are business people, and they're looking at it and saying, government's intention is to roll out LPG. So we're going to position ourselves so that when that happens, they have to come to us for the supply to come through one of our plants. And I just want to know how we're looking at that. And then when we spoke about subsidies, we didn't speak about sensitizing our people, conscientizing them, the education around it. Gas, unfortunately, is not seen in low-income homes as the answer. It's seen more as something that people are afraid of. And it's just because we not have the education, and I don't see you having a big rollout of educating our people as to the uses and the benefits of gas. So we certainly need that kind of accessibility as well. And then, of course, when you say we're going to divorce the price of LPG from an entity auction, it'll be interesting to see what kind of model that you people would have come up with. And then it's true that we will remove the burden from electricity supply, but unless we educate our people, it's not going to happen. We also spoke about the various subsidies all over the world. Now, I know for a fact in Cape Town, less than 20 kilometers from city in Langa, we had introduced many years ago, there was a stove that was using a liquid. And the reason it was, and the stove was given to households, the first sort of chunk of liquid is given to households, and didn't last because there wasn't accessibility to buying the liquid again. So even though it was given to people, even though it was cheaper, it was not accessible because I want to be able to walk out of my home, go down the street and buy what I need. And that is why perfume has always stayed accessible, because it's accessible to go. And it's just, it's cheaper. It's easy to go down to the spaza shop and get what you need. But with gas, there are so many restrictions in getting it into lower income. And I really want us, as a department, to look at what the barriers are and how we're going to overcome those barriers in the forms of education, yes, of course, subsidy, pricing, because those are real barriers for the people who don't have cars, who can't carry a 3 liter or 3 kilogram. It's heavy, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to be carrying it home every day, but you can carry a bottle of paraffin home. I really want you to look, because those are the things that are going to hinder us. We can talk about plants and we can talk about all kinds of wonderful things, but if we don't have our people educated and supply thereof, or the wanting thereof, those plants will stand and be white elephants in the end. Thank you, Chair. So sorry, Chair, just one last thing. I am concerned about the transformation in this industry. I think we're only sitting at 5% black ownership, and really what is the department doing in terms of looking at the triple BEE transformation in this industry? Thanks.
Department.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Let's see the question about the pilot plant, which in fact there were two pilot plants, one in Atteville and the other one in Tembisile. One of the members, what has happened with those plants? I think the presentation that was made previously, it was mentioned that there were the service provider or the person who was operating those plants actually did not really advance the interest of the department afterwards. So they experienced a lot of problems, and then in the step that we took then, when then we approached our national oil company Petro SA to look into the possibility of taking them over. They've done all the necessary assessments, and in fact I think last month they were going to arrange a meeting with us. Unfortunately, there was this movement of offices to finalize the actual takeover of those plants. Yes, of course, those plants actually served as the basis for what we did in terms of setting the maximum price of LPG, because we looked for information from the industry, but we did not actually get the utmost cooperation. So then we used these plans to determine the price and structure as such, and also to look into how we can make LPG accessible to all people without so many middlemen. So that was the purpose. So that, I think I cannot say that the pilots did not serve any purpose. Served very good purpose. It's just that the ultimate objective of making sure that there was a stable supply to the residents actually were not actually achieved, because the people who were running the pilots did not do a good job. That's why then we are now we have now approached our national oil company to Petro SA to run the plant in a sustainable manner. So that is where we are at the moment in terms of those projects. Okay, the status of the strategy of this document is that it is now it is it is going through the internal approval processes. I think the only person that it has not gone to is the DG and the minister. So it has advanced somehow in terms of the approval process. And in terms of the demand, supply demand situation in 2007, I think during my presentation I did mention that there were times, I think it was during those years, 2007, there were serious shortages in electricity. And then, of course, then and also coupled with this, the problem of local production. I think that is what I omitted in my presentation as part of the problem, is that our local production is very inadequate. I think it goes with the type of refineries that we are having. And that is why, in most cases, then we end up importing the product. But we believe that situation, I think it will answer some of the problems, that we are going to alleviate those problems when we look at the whole refining structure, the local production, because we are now in fact with the project that we have launched, where we are actually reviewing, we are developing a 20-year liquid fuel plan. So there has been some investigation into all these facilities, particularly the refineries. We have had refinery audits, although we haven't had the results yet, but it's coming, because it is very important that we look at local production. But for the time, but we will not, even if we have local production, there will be instances where we'll be importing. We'll need to import some of these products to supplement what to supplement the shortfall, because definitely there is a shortfall. In fact, even the other liquid fuels, we are still importing a lot of good oil, petroleum products. So there is a problem there in terms of production. So I think what happened there in 2007, then there was this problem that the refineries could not keep up with the production of LPG, and of course at the same time the demand was up because there was no electricity. People wanted to have electricity. Then what was available was actually the alternative was LPG for those who could afford it. But yes, I can see that the demand has been falling. You know, as the honourable member Mayatula mentioned that. The trend has been that even the demand is higher than the supply, but it has been declining. I think that problem can be attributed to the fact of local production. And I mentioned that the factors are affecting the supply of LPG, that sometimes the producers, the manufacturers of liquid fuel, they look at what is more urgent, you know, something that is more profitable to them, and then they say, okay, instead of producing LPG, let's produce more of petrol because it's more of demand at that particular point in time. So it's those issues, like also what I mentioned, that as business people, there is this what they call refinery economics. Let us look at that. Today, with this barrel of crude, what is it that I can do in order to maximize my benefits out of that? So that is the situation. But if we had adequate or effective or efficient refineries, that problem should be at a very minimum, because we can produce all other fuels. But for the time being, that is the problem that we are facing. And the issue of also what the question, the answer to Honorable Mayatula regarding this confusion of cylinders.
the normal procedure in terms of these industries is that each company has its own cylinders, banded cylinders. So when you go and buy gas at another dealer with a different cylinder, yes, the seller will give you, will exchange that cylinder, will give you his or her cylinder, and then will take the other company's cylinder. At a later stage, once he has accumulated a certain quantity, then he takes them to a place for that company to say, here are the number of your cylinders I have. Give me also your cylinders that you have. That is the type of exchange. But holding is a different story, because it means that there is no returning, there is no exchange of cylinders. It's just hiding those cylinders. You do not now leave them out for speculation. Whereas the proper arrangement really is that of exchanging. If I come with the lime cylinder and you are having the J-Core cylinder, then you should be able to get the J-Core cylinder, which was delivered by another customer, and then he takes the lime cylinder, waiting until such time that those cylinders are enough then to be exchanged. So that is how the system should be working. The issue of transformation, this is one of the biggest challenges in the liquid fuel sector. As I said, that the LPG industry is the same liquid fuel industry. So I think the issue of transformation should be addressed holistically. In fact, it's when transformation is looked into from the perspective of other liquid fuels, that LPG is part of it. Just that there are LPG players who are not manufacturers of LPG. I'm not sure whether when we assessed the transformation, whether we actually need look into those players that are not manufacturers. I think that we need to take that one up, because that's part of they form part of the liquid fuel industry by the nature of their operations. And I think the issue of local production. Yeah, the issue of having more imports of LPG than local production, I alluded to that fact, is that the state of our refineries is not in a position that it can actually give us all what we want in terms of production. And I mentioned that, you know, we are actually looking into that, towards that. We'll soon be having, you know, the reports in terms of what is the situation. But the fact of the matter is that because of this refinery status, we still have to import LPG and other products. But I might as well add to this then that if really we had adequate import infrastructure, we still have no LPG, imported LPG, particularly in the northern hemisphere when it's summer, it's cheap. And if you have bigger vessels, the import in bigger vessels, you've got enough storage facilities, there could be benefits to that effect. But I agree that we must encourage local production, because imports are expensive. We are actually taking money out of the country instead of keeping money local. I think it is a priority. I agree with you. The other comment about the slides, honourable member, I take note of that. because only us that is having a colored presentation. Of course, the numbering would have actually helped, and I take note of that. I think in future we'll make sure that that we actually provide some little explanation on the photocopies. In terms of subsidies, remember that the subsidies would benefit only those who can afford. And the poor people really would not benefit that much on that. Our approach was that we want to expand the use the usage of LPG irrespective of whether you are in upper income group or in lower income group, but we just wanted just to make sure that there's expansion in the use of LPG. Yes, I agree that those people who can afford will actually benefit more. But the subsidy that we are giving for high income groups is lower than the lower income groups. I just want to check something. We are giving fewer subsidies to the higher income groups than the lower income groups. But I agree that some people who are middle income groups will benefit more. But as a start, in terms of expanding the use of LPG, let's do this initially and see how it will turn out. But as I alluded before, this type of arrangement was implemented by ESCOM. I think that's how they actually went through the difficulty during time of electricity shortages. So they actually provided this subsidy for LPG and the result that it went well during that time. So we thought perhaps that if we can just follow that example just to see what happens, because we strongly believe that people will not simply just change from electricity to LPG for cooking and heating the process. If there is nothing really which is actually sort of incentivizing them to do so, and we also believe that even through the awareness campaigns, yes, I agree, there was an omission in terms of intervention, yes, it's part of it, but it's just that we did not actually do it. The campaign that we want in terms of creating awareness on the LPG, on the use of LPG. In fact, we had discussions even with the LPG Safety Association in terms of collaboration in educating consumers about the use of LPG and also the fact that it is not really as dangerous as they think, provided it is handled properly in a proper manner. Also, the issue of local production of cylinders, that we tend to import expensive cylinders, and sometimes they prove to be of poor quality. I did allude to the fact that in terms of our intervention, we would like to see cylinders produced locally, because not only for LPG supply, but also that it will also create some employment locally. There will be some people who are employed. There is a small place in Krugersdorp, but they are actually producing the very small colored cylinders. But there is a move. In fact, this is what we want to sort of work with DTI to ensure that we actually we get a local production of cylinders on a large scale rather than importing cylinders. Also including appliances, as it has been mentioned, that some of these appliances that we are importing are of poor quality. They work for a few days and thereafter the consumer is left helpless. So these are the issues that we, now when we actually talking about the transformation of the whole LPG industry, we're looking at all these things, local production of the product itself, the appliances must be produced locally, and all these things combined would then add to actually or would advance our progress. I don't know if I'm missing the other question. The other question that is that have we done any research on? All right. Let me start with this. The gas affecting the health of children. Honourable members, I can assure you that gas is less harmless than, in fact, than petrol, and you know it's got very few. Very little fumes. I do not know. I cannot vouch that there are any elements, but the emissions from LPG are very limited, and that is why they say it gas is benign, put it that way. It's a much cleaner fuel than any other fuel. I'm not sure, pressman, if it gets ingested. Then they could be some problems, but we do not know of any evidence that it has. That is why it is also recommended as one of the greenhouse gases, because it's got less emissions. And then also coming to the issue of, well, the issue of research in lower income groups. I know that there has been some research that we looked through that was done by the University of Cape Town in the past, but that was the last research that I heard of. We have not really gone into detail ourselves as a department now to do another research to see what are the trends in terms of lower income groups. Because it's a really a very complex market because of the layers in the market. Now you get manufacturers, wholesalers, retailers, and you get stockists, and the chain is much longer, particularly within the lower income groups. So whatever is sold, you know, we do not, whatever is sold somewhere in rural areas, in Ladysmith, and is sold maybe through a hardware shop, but the hardware shop buys from a retailer. Now, in terms of accounting for those volumes, it's very difficult. So it needs intensive research, door-to-door research in order to get those figures. Sometimes we get those figures in a lump sum, but then we are not able to actually to differentiate whether these are from the township, or these are from the rural areas. Yes, such research is needed, in fact, just to see, even if we have this big figure in terms of consumption, we need to know in detail what is the trend, what is going there, so that we know that the product is actually reaching the people it is intended for. I think that one is needed. I believe that perhaps even if we at the moment we haven't actually done that we will still need to do that, especially to monitor that. If we implement the rollout of this, we need to know exactly what is the uptake after doing that. I think that is what happened when we launched the pilot project, because they were confined to a specific area. So the sales provider was actually required to keep certain records there. So then we were able actually then to monitor consumption in that particular location, and because it was sort of a pilot. So I agree with honourable members that we need to do something maybe similar to what we did with the pilot project to monitor the trend. Let me start with this issue of how are we going to divorce 93 from LPG? Well, because these are coming from the same barrel of crude. The way we looked at that, because we've already started doing some work there in the review of the maximum refinery gate price of LPG. We look at what does it cost to import LPG, not crude, LPG itself, from the major centers of production, like, for instance, Saudi Arabia. That's where we get our LPG from, the imported LPG from. So let's use the starting point to look at the actual cost of LPG rather than bringing LPG there and then say, then the starting point is that this is 93 petrol. That's the deemed price. It's not really the actual price, but it's the deemed price. But we look at what it costs from the source of supply. And then, of course, we looked at all other factors now in terms of bringing that product to the shores of South Africa. We know that for now, that it is very costly. You know, you look, because the price of crude now, when you look at it, the starting point is that it's got all the elements, including of transporting from foreign countries to the South African shores, and then they add all other local costs, taking product to wherever. But the cost of LPG, then we say, what is the cost there? And what are the actual costs of transportation? What is it involved in transporting LPG? Because it's different from transporting other types of products because of the containers and also the type of vessel that you transport it in. We needed to look at that. But we need to actually to refine this to suit our South African situation. It's a very complex issue, but yes. We need to do something to say if this was not priced based on petrol, because it's LPG, what would it cost actually, in a sense, to understand all the costing. Then we are in a position then of approaching the pricing in a different manner. That is what we are trying to say. The other question is about making gas accessible to households in the townships or areas where people are removed from the sources of supply. The issues of, because some we know that some people will even want to take a taxi to buy gas in town. Some of them do not have money for transport to do all those things. And I think our experience during the pilot project actually revealed all those problems. That is why we took those projects closer to the people. And then we went further to say, service provider, now get some people who will actually take this thing that deliver door to door to see what's going to happen. And those people who are closer than to the facility, then they were able to come. But there were instances really where people were getting into taxis to come and buy the thing. It is a problem because when we trapping is much more easier because you can have a very small container but with gas it's not really very easy to break that into very, very small quantities. But I think the business people now are actually making some efforts in terms of the type of cylinders that they are making. They are sort of customer responsive. That they are lighter, and some of them now they are making them lighter, and they actually provide a cylinder also with something to cook there on, you know, they have some sort of plate. You know, they are making some kind of these innovations. But the main worrying point is the issue of sustainability or the quality of these things. Yes, I agree that there is a problem in terms of making LPG accessible then. More accessible than parking because of the problems that have been highlighted, transportation and all those things. Then we'll have to work on that. And I believe that with inputs, when we start inviting inputs from various sources, maybe we'll come up. We'll come up with some solutions. And in terms of triple B transformation. In the industry, I know that there has been some kind of assessment that has been done in the liquid fuel industry, the liquid fuel charter, and I'm not sure if this surely it must have been presented. I'm not sure if it was presented here in the before the committee.
Yes, it was. Because we just received an update on the liquid fuel charter.
Yes.
It was an audit by Mloto Commission, of which gas is part of that
update. Okay. So I believe that now that the results are out, there is going to be some action. There is a segment within the department that is looking solely after transformation. I think that will then be taken care of in terms of what is the next step now that we know what is happening or what is not happening. How do we then move forward? I think that is going to be taken care of all of them. I'm not sure if...
I think you need to check yourself because I don't want you to get caught. Let me just throw in my lot. We take a break, honorable members. We leave them to prepare because there's too much a gap between your answering of questions. Let me preface my questions with a comment that the 2 days ago, the National Development Plan was presented to the president through this parliament. And I'm one of the people who made a speech there, made a lot of praise, but the praise has to be contextualized, that it doesn't mean that we shouldn't conduct, or we're not going to conduct our oversight work. In fact, even make us bolder and more confident to conduct our oversight work, because it's giving us stronger instruments. Special that even reference was made to energy in the plan. The first thing I would like to start to is post a comment and a question. When I invited the department, I wanted the department to take us through, to brief us on the journey on the transformation of the LPG sector or the LPG industry. But the response we got was that you were going to make a presentation only
LPG expansion of SHIELD. I think along the way we have to start to doubt it too, whether we have the same understanding of what we see for this sector. Because even in the past, the last August 2011 presentation, we were looking at the transformation of this industry. Understanding when you talk about transformation, you're overhauling and taking into account all the aspects of a sector, such that at the end, you are able to confidently say that you're sitting with a new sector. I'm going to share with you just a few points which I already shared earlier. When the department was not there to what we want. In my mind, there were things like policy legislation and regulatory framework, which maybe to an extent it did allude to regulatory issues. Skills development, the technology itself, the expansion of the market, supply chain complexities, which you have referred to. Yes, we have done. We have made reference and mentioned or addressed the monopolistic and oligopolistic conduct, particularly competitive behavior, pricing, the cylinder issues, the economic opportunities, but not much around investment, safety. And one other area that I feel is coming up is issue around the data management, particular collection. I just want to be sure whether we're on the same wavelength on this one, because if you look at how I articulated the history, is that initially from in this current parliament, from 2009, you know, the department of the committee were looking at very specific issues, the regulation, the prices. Until last year, we started looking at broader issues beyond those regulation prices and even the project. Not that we're discussing on the way. I think Member Kibela was right that from time to time we need to get that update, because we even said last year we'd like to see these projects converting into programs, not just to test the project or do the project to test the water, and then thereafter we assess what we should move with speed. I'm sure that's also quite indicative from my side that the is growing patients, as Nema Kibela alluded to one or another. Prophets highlighted the status of the document, and I was saying to me, to myself as well, if at this stage in time, we still talk of internal approval, can you share with us the history of this project? When did you start? Why do you still have an internal approval? And I'll share with you a couple of things. In February 2010, the then chairperson, my predecessor, Honorable Mr. Tabete, she indicated or was keen to know when the department was planning to move beyond the pilot project and rolling out the plan to the rest of the country. And in that very meeting, Honorable Katebe asked about success stories. And Mr. Mkize from the department even made reference to the Indonesian experience, which was able to implement the LPG program and replace the use of paraffin within a space of 3 years. I don't think it was the same as Indonesia, but sometimes it's good to just make reference to success stories, which it can be done. Another area is the facility. I think from time to time Petro SA comes in. You check around the project. The question that I want to have, from now henceforth, are we supposed to then ask, monitor Petro SA with regards to the project so that they don't keep on chasing the department when the projects are in Petro SA's hands? Would that be appropriate? That will be appropriate if that's the case for us to monitor progress on that side. Last year, in August, as part of the way forward, one of the things that was done, which I commend the department, was that you said you would review the environment situation in this year, which I view that it's part of the Liberty Charter audit. Another area that was highlighted by the department was that your strategy needed to be contextualized and pieces of the puzzle to be fitted together. Now I want to raise a concern then, or maybe two questions. Why is it being then the department sees the department still internal? What exactly is the hold up? Because one of the things that the very department has raised is that penetration of the market by the LPG sector would bring relief to pressures on the electricity supply to whatever level. Of course, it depends how much penetration is done. Also, last year, in terms of rolling out LPG plants, one of the things the department requested to do to come back and present how the entire system worked. You may have missed that because I didn't check the minutes, but I thought the department would have remembered that you still owe us on that one. So let's put it on the record that you still owe us that. You can have a look at the minutes so that in future when we interact, look at that. As another comment, one other area that we highlighted last year, I think in August, was the slow pace of transformation in this sector. That links to the other concern that when are the projects turning around to come programs? You've made reference to a couple of stakeholders. But I thought in my mind you would also highlight very strongly the fact that you need to pull very closely investors. I'm glad that the Banking Association is represented here. Because one of the duties of members to in any country is to create an environment for investors to invest. And although we're not address that in full, but one sees that that's another area we need to robustly engage and see the extent, the appetite from investors, if I can use that term. Seeing that there are enough seeds, because I know when I was in trading industry, there was a lot around exporting steel, what we needed in fact. But even think of things like recycling iron for that matter. Whether something else to be done that could trigger a little bit more industrial or economic activity. I'm not rambling, but the essence is to consciously regard investors as one of the primary stakeholders in this industry, which we feel it has a huge potential ahead. In international bodies, definitely, because they are huge gas depots throughout and trade and all sorts of things globally. The Competition Commission, obviously, honorable members, until the whole issue of uncompetitive behavior is addressed and done away with. But as for now, I strongly maintain the Competition Commission must be one of stakeholders, because there are distortions of in this market within this industry. However, with regards to the role of municipalities, well, not so much in Cape Town, but I know in Kensington area in Johannesburg, you still have the whole infrastructure of gas, like you're supplying electricity. You know, I don't know which other area, but I know I've been to a couple of friends in Kensington suburb. Around the, I just see that as one of the options, even if it's not that one, but these municipalities are one fierce government which we should take on board whenever we'd like to ensure that we enhance the activation or expansion of a sector, particularly this one. Public Works Department, on behalf of government, what is nice for us to sit here and talk and talk, but where is possible, government must live, at least by example. So there are a couple of things that can be looked into in order to reduce the pressure of electricity. In particular, SAPIA, you made reference to refinery economics, and therefore enter SAPIA. Whilst we can talk about the possibilities of importing gas from Mozambique, Namibia, the West Coast, and all of that, but SAPIA must be working with all the sundry, hand in glove. The LPG States Association as well. Particularly when it comes to air awareness campaign to enhance the accessibility of the LPG. And above all, proudly South Africa, if we were to talk about local production, particularly for the SMMEs, around the established companies, shouldn't be part of that. But I emphasize on that SMMEs because of the huge potential that this industry presents. I know I've mixed questions with comments. And also when you come back, don't forget you owe us. You have not introduced the two beautiful ladies, which the committee doesn't know. That they will. You might have the furniture that you know, but not the new lady. One of the members, let's take a break and come back. Give the question.
So there's a separate tax. My question is for the
has not gone through the DCV the official about representing the department, and anything that comes to this, it must be something that has gone through, if not to the minister, at least to the DG. Now, I'm just sharing that, again, for the future. It's very important when they are sitting here, they are not representing a subsection, they are representing the department, and the department is to put the signature of the DG at least.
Thanks for that, Rob, but just 2 minutes before you run away. So it means they have to answer you within 2 minutes, then you can grab your bag.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe I need to correct something. Our presentation here has actually been sanctioned by the DG because she requested to see the presentation. it may be that the document itself that we are talking about has not really been approved internally as what we can actually proceed with them inviting input for the public. And I can actually share with the committee that we have been working through this document, and a lot of consultation has been happening within the department.
He's not addressing my concern. I was talking to his own way. So this person has gone internally. He has not just gone through the DG and the minister. And I'm saying a document that comes here must have gone literally to the DG and he must have signed to say, yeah, he is delegating the power to you to come and present it. Without him approving and signing, to me, that's what I'm saying, I'm uncomfortable.
I'm sure I don't mean literal signature. But a formal endorsement. But Nungan, what I understand that you're saying, that has happened.
Chairperson, that has happened. We are requested by Office of the DG to submit the presentation, and that is
okay, fine. Yes. From the take it on record, that has been corrected now. It has gone through the hands and the eyes of Sisneli Siwe Makubal, the Director General of the Department.
Chairperson, also then to comment on what you also commented on in terms of your accreditation, that you were also looking at this presentation, you were looking on things like policy development, skills development, investment, safety.
Run away from that, please don't offer easily.
Yes.
I was giving that as education.
Yes.
That in my thinking, when you talk about transformation, you handle all those elements.
Yeah.
I'll share that with you outside here, and as we move along and we can interact outside this meeting, it just to ensure that I provoke thinking amongst all of us that transformation, you don't handle one sector or partial, you know, partially addressing, you know, issues. You handle them as comprehensive as possible. And it's your call at the end of the day. So please, I really would like to plead that at least not at that level. Don't bother responding to that for now.
Chairperson, if I may respond to this issue of the prolonged history of the pilot projects and of course the involvement of Petro SA. A number of things have been happening, Chairperson, in terms of verifying what is there in these lands. The difficulty in that, some of the difficulties that we experience is that when Petro SA went there to look for certain records on site, and also some data, so, and also safety issues and certificates and all the legalities, there were problems because now the operator is no longer there. Someone else who does not have the information is actually running the plant, only just merely running the plant, but is also running out of product. You know, those were almost all those difficulties because we're running up and down, going to this plant only to find that we can't get this information. We want to verify the assets on the ground, and there is no record. And so eventually, because we have the records, the record on paper at the depot, but they need to, at the department, but they need to be verified. So that in itself actually took some time. Petro SA coming up and down looking for that, and also going to the municipalities to check the issue of land, to whom the land belongs to, and all those things. So eventually then we came to a situation where Petro SA asked now for a meeting to say whatever then we have, or they've actually taken stock, then there must be an agreement that, you know, that is what they have on hand, and of course there must be some legalities in terms of handing the project over, because even the municipality needs to know that now Petro SA is operating, and all those things need some kind of investigation. I can say that those investigations have so far been concluded, but there are certain legalities that have got to happen as far as I had before then the pilot can be headed over to Petro SA. So that is as far as the pilot project is concerned. I know that it's been a long time. It's unfortunate that, you know, the service providers actually let us down. It was a very good project, but as time went on, the service provider did not do exactly what you were supposed to do, and the customers were suffering, and as a department, we then took a conscious decision to say, let's give this thing to Petro SA. It's unfortunate that this thing has not been financed, but hopefully, I think within the next month, just that, I can say so, we will be able to sit down with Petro SA to find out exactly what is it now they need from us, because we know that we have actually provided the asset register, we have actually visited the plants, so that has been finished. In terms of legalities, I think that is what needs to happen so far. That's all what I can say regarding that pilot project. In terms of whether chairperson, you should be monitoring Petro SA or the department, I don't think a person that I can be in a position of directing you to do that. I believe that we as a department need to do exactly what we're supposed to do, and perhaps then report to you if Petro SA does not respond the way we expect them to. I do not know whether I've...
Never mind. we'll take it from there. We'll take it from there.
Regarding the strategy, the question is, why is it still in eternal? And I think I actually alluded to honorable member, Professor Mayadula, that at the moment this document is internal because we have done all the consultation just to make sure that we have all the input internally first, and all the other stakeholders that we have actually identified. And of course, we have been having some feedback. You know, the document has been going to and fro. We have been having some feedback from our principals in terms of what needs to be highlighted, and it's all those issues, because before the document then gets approval for maybe external output, we as a department must make sure that we are having a document that can that has got some kind of integrity. The issue really has not been the delay in terms of signing the document, but the issue of consultation, getting input from various people and also other stakeholders that we have identified. So I think then from this presentation, I will sort of highlight the issue to my principal that that is a concern of the committee, that we have taken long in terms of finalizing the document.
Okay. It's just something that allow me to be a bit active unless I forget something. Two things. Substance over and above the integrity of the settlement. Substance on the numbers, isn't it? That is important. I mean, integrity is the substance. The content must also have the integrity. I'm not doubling that.
Yes.
But also the balance. You know, whilst we love to skid into the areas of micromanagement as committees, but still at macro level, we would like to have an idea on the members, especially the African Fanan and the LPG sector. In other words, give us a roadmap, because that seems to be coming out now, correct me, honorable members. We seem to only think up now that, by the way, the department has got a roadmap. I've shared minutes with you. Maybe if you could pick up, even my scan on the minutes, it doesn't show that at any stage in time, but look at, materially, you are the veterans in this community who are around. We don't pick up that they've ever shared the roadmap towards a transformed LP sector, isn't it? So with the first appeal for, give us the roadmap. You see? Then we can be able to monitor you according to the roadmap.
Yeah.
You know, it will have its benchmarks, you know, and milestones. Okay, carry on.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. I appreciate that remark, and I think it's important, especially for this committee, to know where we are, the status quo, so that the committee can actually monitor our performance and for the benefit of the society, that we actually accomplish what we said we wanted to accomplish. I don't know. I took that these were the inputs in terms of the stakeholders that we should consider. For instance, we should actually indicate what have we done in terms of attracting investors to invest in this in the industry, and of course you mentioned the issues of in terms of the production of cylinders, that we know that the steel is very much expensive. And I can share with you regarding that, or with you and the committee, is that during our crafting of this the document, that we also consider those issues of local production. We are aware that this the steel is expensive. I think Mr. McKees has once shared that there was a that DDI actually has actually sort of that concession or on the price of steel, if that steel is going to be used for the production of local cylinders. Just that we have not actually moved to the stage when we actually engage these stakeholders fully. But the issue of affecting investment is very much is very critical. But what the positive development here is that we are seeing now the investment in the import facilities and some storage infrastructure. And through the engagement with the department and also our facilitation in terms of what we want, and of course, there are people who have been convinced to put up these facilities. The import facility is a very, expensive facility that is, and it's quite a sizable facility that is being constructed or will be constructed at Sadana Bay. And also we have some actually investors who have actually created LPG depots, very big depots here that we have actually visited, been seen. And in fact, it shows that these people are actually having confidence in us in terms of actually providing a framework or an environment for them to be able to invest, because otherwise they would not have invested. I remember that a year ago, we were actually lamenting the fact that we do not have import facilities in South Africa and storage facilities. But now we are actually seeing things are happening. So it shows that there is some confidence in investors, and in fact, because of what we have shared with them, in terms of what we want to do, and they have actually believed in us. And I'm not condemning the fact that maybe we need to do more, but in terms of the regulatory framework that we have put up, then they
can.
I'm glad that some of the players are here in the house, but yes, we've been sharing this information with some, with most of them. Although there is not, there has been absolute confidence, but I think the way we have actually conducted our service fund in terms of saying, this is a regulation, this is what we want to do. And some of them, even these investors, they still want to engage us so that they know they've got some kind of predictability of where we're going. That is in as far as providing the regulatory framework to any investors to invest. And I appreciate Chairperson, the stakeholders. Some of these stakeholders we have overlooked, like the public works that you mentioned. The Competition Commission, yes, we it's unfortunate that what we actually presented here is not the only document, but these are the competition is there definitely, because that is the way of dealing with uncompetitive behavior. We appreciate the inputs in terms of international bodies. SALGA, we spoke about COGTA, and I think maybe we should have been specific just to SALGA itself.
Because COGTA policy, SALGA action, not to remember.
Yeah, okay.
We've invited both these bodies, if you remember. The electricity distribution industry, the FDE, and every time they come, you'd find that they complement each other, at times contradict each other, which is like in any case. So I want to emphasize that, you know, we're not just throwing it in, not taking the cognizance that you did mention COGTA. No, we take that into cognizance. But the emphasis is that COGTA will always be giving the policy framework for SALGA to implement.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. The LPG Association, in fact, I'm glad that they are here as well. We had a number of engagements, particularly towards the contribution of that document, in terms of how can we promote the safety awareness campaigns, and all those issues. That is what we have addressed with them, but we haven't actually stopped. Those are other issues. There are concerns regarding the administration, but definitely we have, in fact, their inputs, and it's there in our document. We have actually we say something about what needs to happen or how we should collaborate with them in conjunction with the Department of Labor when it comes to safety, because they are going to be custodian of the Occupational Safety Act. The specifications of the appliances, because they also monitor that, and the installation of the LPG installation. Those are the things that we have actually discussed with the LPG Association. I appreciate that, you know, there is also an addition which we have honestly never thought of, Proudly South Africa, which in fact then we are going to enrich our document in fact, with all these additions. Sabia, a third person, Sabia, we constantly engage with members of Sabia. For the mere fact that we are actually regulating the oil industry. But I agree with you that everything, whatever we say about the industry, we should think about transformation, because whatever they do, it should be in line with what we expect in terms of transformation, because sometimes, you know, the interest of business take priority over the interest of the country. I think that is just a general comment that I can make there. So it's not that we do not engage with them, but I think there are far more deeper issues that we need to deal with in terms of ensuring that we are all on the same page in terms of what is needed for the country as opposed to what is needed for a particular sector of the economy. That would be my comment on that one.
Well, in the context of what also Mr. Trevor said, it doesn't mean that we didn't hold hands together here, not so honorable members. But Mr. Trevor said, I look at the fact that it came out of the diagnostic process that the business and government still need a lot of together. Okay, carry on.
You will pardon me if I've actually skipped something else, but let me do what I was supposed to have done before I actually proceeded with my replies to introduce the two ladies that are actually accompanying me. Perhaps I should allow them to introduce themselves.
I think you are so full of things, that's the best of all.
My name is Mangomen Dabula. I'm the Deputy Director of Petroleum Infrastructure from the Department of Energy.
My name is Azunden Neramondo. I'm the Head of Department for Gas Pricing and Tariffs at NEPA.
Nabongo. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. And as I alluded earlier on, that there are questions that could have been better answered in terms of infrastructure, but you said it's not necessary now. I think that the lady from NERSA would be the perfect person to actually to share with us what has been happening in the petroleum infrastructure or the investment and the licensing and all those things. Because there is something that that is happening in terms of economic empowerment. Because that is a requirement. When people are applying for licenses, they've got to say what is it that they've done in terms of transformation. And she has that information. She can also say, now, these people or these members of the oil industry have not complied, or these have actually complied, or to what extent they have not actually complied. Chairperson, if you need further information, we can invite the lady to assist us in terms of making a presentation on transformation, particularly on those issues. chairperson and all of members, I'm not sure if then I have omitted.
Thanks very much, Ben. If you feel that you've done the best, and remember what we wanted was to have a time. Always link what we are doing today to the meeting of the 23rd of August last year, not for one of the members. Not about one. You see, particularly if we're at a stage whereby we realize that we've got a long journey to go through, you know, I don't think one of the members may not ask one or two specific questions. That is fine. Maybe just to make a follow-up on issues of pricing. Because, for example, I felt the impact, because I've got a gas heater. Very high price, you know, almost $200 in 2010. And then it's a 9 kg. Then last year, it really went down. I usually buy it, you know, around winter, you know, May, June. It went down to 100, I don't know, can't remember, closer to 120 or something like that. All of a sudden this year, when winter came in, it has gone back. You see, I would have immediately come back here and said, let's look, what is happening, what's going on, called in the snow. One sense is that we still need to fix up one or two things, you know. So even if one is sitting this chair, sometimes I'm an ordinary citizen and pick up things from experience. You know, that's one part, but to us, we want to have a sense of the journey, because look, at, that's me at this level. And when I express and share this experience, now, think of someone who even buying a 5 kg for cooking now. It's a big thing, Babluka, in the monthly. It's a big thing. So why I'm sharing this experience. So we could be doing that from time to time. Remember, I could even field questions to the minister, which you people can assist in answering that one. But to us, it's the journey, you know, and everybody listening. That's what we are in keen on. And if all of the members can round up by saying then, at that stage, we need to do through a good timing that we go for public hearing. We could everybody, but the timing must be together with the department releasing, or the cabinet for that matter, releasing the proposed strategy and program, policy, if there'll be need for policy refinement as well. All of it comes and it becomes part of the public hearings journey, and we ensure that we bombard it, you know, all sorts of ideas, input, and it will also give us a sense as to how far do you go beyond that stage. We will be doing a lot of legal homework as well as Parliament in any case along the way, definitely. However, under members, can I suggest that if at some stage we'll be visiting Johannesburg for any reason, if there's a way of just popping in one of the toilet projects just to see, but it will depend on what Petro SA guides us, if there are any movements. But even just to check, you know, what the projects and particular other projects are implemented in order to, you know, create a, you know, an idea of what will happen in the future. Or even you can look at one Friday afternoon for those who can, even around Cape Town, if there's any place whereby there is sizable residential penetration of gas, and also from the business side. I mean, personally, I'm quite curious to what extent the industrial particular sector taking up gas utilization. I usually see these umbrella like gas heaters in restaurants, you know. That's how far it goes, you know, from the business. But I'd like to look, you know, I'm sure I can see you also nodding. To what extent are the others looking at that as well? Because we have to have a practical exposure from time to time. But as for now, one can safely say that some of the areas have been reinforced in terms of the challenges that are still maintained, but unfortunately, we are not yet, I'm looking at the members, we are not yet convinced that you are moving at the speed or the expected speed that you should have done.
Because one of my questions was that, what's the history of the whole initiative? Because if I look at the minutes, of course, that's like 2009. Now, at that stage, even if you're handling pricing, even if you're doing some regulatory refinement, no matter how partial, surely you could sense that the whole industry has got to be overhauled. And we are very, very keen as this committee to have a roadmap. Not a full document, just a one page if need be, or an A3 page with the Gantt or Berg chart for those who know project management. Just to show us Var compounds and Var canons on certain assets. That would be very, very, very helpful. Yes, Mabluka,
before I forget, there's one issue that we always forget in South Africa, all of us. We should not steal the expense. Steel is from our country. Gas comes from Russia. The Russians get gas cheaper than us because they've got gas. We don't benefit from our own products. We sell the steel at export price. So that's where part of the shortcoming is coming, because we could compete with the manufacturing of cylinders, but we can't because the prices are all same way. And then as investors, we get the better price because they buy huge quantities. Now, here, if I start as a small business person, I can't buy those quantities, so I don't derive that benefit. So the transformation is seriously important. We need to do something, and we need to get our people to participate. And those who are participating, I can assure you, are having an uphill battle. They're having an uphill battle. Because the big guys come here to live essentially, they pick up, they're going to go to the townships, and the cost gets more. And the thing is not pointed at the big person, it's pointed at the small dealer. Says, you overcharging. So it's a serious issue, and I think we're going to have to look at it. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, just very, very quickly, if you don't mind, I'd like to just do some additions to your roadmap. You pointed out earlier a couple of requests that we had made, that you had made to the department of what we expected this presentation to yield, and you've made the department and give us like short paragraphs on the policy legislation, the skill development, what they're doing about it, what they're going to do, the expansion of the market, supply chain, all the things that you mentioned earlier. Just alongside that roadmap, give us those one paragraph to complete the presentation should have been like today. Is that okay with you?
Fine, but as long as we keep them the lateral where they haven't got information, they can just indicate that we have to address this area. But I'm sure you can understand, Brenner, that you just need to have an understanding what the status quo in full, in the whole sector. Whether you've done, half done, quarter done, anything. Because we are tasked as the committee to monitor them thereafter. And we need to ensure that when we do the timing of the public hearing, we can be reasonable, you know. You also could ensure an ability to expedite the document. I'm sure we agree that we'll make sure that the release of the full document coincides with us during the public hearing.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the other one is about the education of the people. It's not a new thing. The department was doing it. If they can only tell us how far have they gone, because it's not new. It started even during the time of Minister Phumzile. That's the way the department was busy going about educating people. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, that's definitely part of the overall drive. You know, our campaign including acceptability. Of course, we need balance so that you don't create a surge of demand without ensuring the demand. That's on their shoulders as well. Honourable members, I think we come now to a conclusion. Safe to say, when you say steel, SME, think of another stakeholder rather than say DTI or EBAP. Because I think it's part of the industrial policy action plan. That's I can't remember where now, my memory is losing me, but
I think if not, then you could make sure that this the issue of steel and related matters, you know, are taken on board there, because it wouldn't necessarily be the department that handles that, but it's through collaboration that we, in fact, will be triggering an expanded industrial activity or economic activity in that area for local steel production, maintenance, you know, whatever other issues, you know, that are related to it. Even transporting it, because if you have more bottles, you'll have to have them transported. By the way, something very coincidental, honorable, I think in the past few weeks, I've seen, if not two or three times, traffic cops having stopped cars and dropping small trucks, you know, half a ton, three quarter ton, to 10 trucks, you know, with big gas cylinders at the back. And if I remember, when the LPG Safety Association, you know, was making a presentation at E249, that's one of the things that they raised. And I was smiling, not because that guy is going to get, whoever the driver is going to get a traffic fine. I said, oh, there it is. So it's interesting that as the costs are very, very much less. And you could see, even if just driving in a few seconds, that the bottles are not stored or stacked safely at the back. They're just at the back because it's a truck, you know. That's it. That's all about it. Let's close it at that. I'm sure we have done our best today to create a better understanding, you know, with the department. We don't do necessarily rush. And say we need that within whatever time, because we need to ensure that the department goes back to the drawing board. It looks at how it takes on board our recommendation. Remember, as the lady said, we can only recommend to the executive. But rest assured, from our side and also from my side on behalf of the committee, I will not only put it under things to do, I'll put in a reminder. You know these small machines called cell phones, they have these monthly reminders. So it will come every, today the 17th, so I'll put in a reminder of the 17th. Every time in the morning, once a month, it will come up. And then when I realize that probably it's the third or fourth month, then I'll pick up the phone and say, Meneer, Mushumon the Meneer. I'm sure honestly that will be fine, but it will be reasonable. But unfortunately, given that we are not convinced that we have moved at a faster speed, we will be more insistent in future. One or not, we're not convinced, and I won't even come back to you, members. Once I'm convinced that they're not moving at speed, you know, and it's not about giving me the document, but just to indicate how far you. This is an industry or sector that has the potential, not only on its own, that is confined. But it has been off and a ripple effect on other industries as well. That you have to take on board. I'm sure it was red. Let me thank everyone. It's a Friday. Some of us will still need to go a little bit more in our little offices, cold as they are. Next week, we will be on Tuesday at S35. We'll be getting an update on FCOM on its new build program. I think it's important, and I've asked them, if possible, to share with us their new ideas, which we have seen in the media as well. But it's important from time to time, you know, just to get an idea on how far are they in the new build program. Thank you very much, everybody, the department members, and the gallery at large. See you next week. Meeting 10-10.